Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Webster defines trivia as bits of information that are of little value. Webster never played Stump the Chumps, a Kansas City institution for a quarter century. If you like sports trivia and free stuff, this is your chance. All you gotta do is Stump the Chumps. And here they are, Soren Petro, Pete Enoch, and Curtis Siebold.
Yes, indeed. Our friend Peter Yates Enoch remains at home with the stay-at-home ordinance. We're looking to do everything we can, keeping everybody at home and having a bunch of different voices. You can tell some of the time, by the way, we've got wonderful technologies and we're doing everything we can with those technologies to keep everybody as safe as possible, but it is hard. We're talking over each other a little bit because there's slight delays with the things that we're doing, and so it gets pretty hard to have all these different voices via the phone. So Peter Yates Enoch will be back with us as soon as we can get him back in the studio. I'm happy to report he is safe and at home and doing very well. So there's nothing wrong with Pete. And we're trying to make sure it stays that way with our buddy Peter Yates Enoch. Todd Lebo pinch hits for Peter Yates Enoch here on a Stump the Chump Thursday. Petro, Siebold, Marshall, Lebo. Todd, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. And, you know, this morning, Seren, I generally watch a few minutes of Good Morning America every morning, and they've got Michael Strahan in the studio. George Stephanopoulos is at home because his wife has tested positive for COVID-19, and Robin Roberts is at home. So they have the exact same issues we have, and they've got a whole lot better equipment than we do. They talk over each other all the time. It's hilarious. I'm like, hey, finally, the network people are sitting there at home with some janky stuff, not with like a whole crew of people. I love it.
I don't think they have better equipment than us, Todd. That's impossible.
They have a little bit better. I will remind you this. I don't know. We all watch Seinfeld, right? All of us have, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know who George Stephanopoulos' wife is? She was in one episode of Seinfeld, Schmoopy. Remember, like, Jerry and his
Schmoopy,
girlfriend?
Schmoopy, for real?
Yes, that's his wife. And like, oh, Schmoopy, no, you're Schmoopy. That's George Stephanopoulos' wife. And so I saw her on there today. I'm like, wait a second. That's Schmoopy. Anyway, there you go. That's my bit of joy today.
I'm trying to spell Schmoopy.
I don't know how they spell it. I would spell it S-H-S-C-H. M-O-O-P-I-E, probably. I would go I-E on the end of Schmoopy.
Her name's Allie Wentworth.
Allie Wentworth, yeah, is her name. But, yeah, she that episode
She's
where...
taller than he is.
It's the soup Nazi is what it is. They go in to the soup place, and she's all Schmoopy, and he's like, you can't touch anyone in here. And he's like, I'm not with her. It's great. They broke up, whatever. So now she's married to George Stephanopoulos. Whatever.
You know what?
She'd be better off married to Seinfeld because he's got all the money.
Yeah. Would have been better.
Yeah.
Apparently, she was on... Comedians in Cars having coffee or whatever his little deal is.
Yeah, sure. Have her on because she's Schmoopy.
It's a good show.
Yeah, she's Schmoopy.
She'll always be Schmoopy to me. I don't know. That was a great episode. So
once Schmoopy, always Schmoopy, I think is what you're getting at there.
Truth.
If I'm not mistaken. Good to know. Yeah, so everybody doing what they can. Us no different. So we thank you for your patience here as we press on. There is great Cajun food to be won. That is Jazz Louisiana Kitchen, 39th and State Line, the original. In Independence by Silverstein Eye Centers Arena. And, of course, out at the Legends, Jazz Louisiana Kitchen. Great Cajun food, and it's available for you to take home. Go to jazzkitchen.com. That's jazzkitchen.com. I remind you, if you are in the Lenten season as well. Great, great seafood side to the menu for you to check out. Go to jazzkitchen.com and pick your location. You'll get your phone number and you call it in and you pick it up. They'll be happy to bring it to you. That great Cajun food sounds good to me. I could take some red beans and rice, maybe some catfish bites right now. Sound good to me. Looking forward to having everybody back in their dining room. But in the meantime, you can get your delivery or basically takeout right there at Jazz, a Louisiana Kitchen. 913-310-810. Ask us a question of sports history. If we don't know the answer, we'll give you a question back. You get that one right, you win the great Cajun food from Jazz. Todd, where would we like to begin?
Let's start at the top of the board, theoretically. Well, my phone's not doing anything.
That button doesn't work well.
No, there he goes. That's Derek. Normally it's the second button that doesn't work, but Derek is on. He's got a question.
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing this.
You bet, Derek. Thanks for being a part of it, buddy.
All right. So since 2002, four NFL coaches have made the playoffs and been fired that same offseason. Can you name three of the four?
Well, one was the Titans coach that beat the Chiefs 2 years ago, the offensive coordinator.
Munchak? No.
No.
It wasn't that?
He'd been with the Steelers.
Ken Whisenhunt?
Not Whisenhunt. Whisenhunt. What the hell was his name? Malarkey? Mike Malarkey?
That sounds
Mike
right.
Malarkey.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. So we'll start with Mike Malarkey.
One. You're correct.
So did Dick Vermeil?
The obvious 86 Chiefs.
No, he said since 2002. Hold on, he said since 2002.
Oh, since 02.
Right,
02. Okay.
Because I was thinking of Vermeil. He didn't defend his Super Bowl title, right? But that was he's 02.
Yeah, firing and retiring is different, right?
Right.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So got to be fired.
Yeah, the whole point is because they're expanding the playoff. So,
okay. Marty Schottenheimer. Did Marty? Yeah. Marty Schottenheimer got fired by the Chargers?
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
He did.
I take that.
So we'll go with Marty second.
That's right.
Okay.
There's four of them. So now I want to get it. When I get this close, I'm going to be pissed if we don't get a third one. Did Norv Turner get fired also by the Chargers?
He got fired by a lot of people.
What about?
How about this?
Dungy. Oh, that's 02. Well, he would have been fired after 01, right, when they brought in Gruden?
Yeah, but I don't think Dungy wouldn't count being fired after the 01 and going into the 02, would he?
No.
No, so. Did
Didn't the Redskins make the playoffs once? They probably fired somebody.
Yeah, but I think that was they made it with Joe Gibbs again, didn't they? Or did they make it with Mike Shanahan?
I don't remember.
They made it with Shanahan, but I don't think they fired him that year. We can try it if you don't think of a better one. I was thinking, did Whisenhunt get fired?
Ooh, Jed just said Mike McCarthy did. Had the Packers made the playoffs last year or 2 years ago before they fired McCarthy? Did they miss it that year?
I don't think they did.
They made it.
No, they didn't. It was Rodgers hurt.
He was hurt. He was hurt, not McCarthy. It had to be somebody that, like, they were, like, tired of, like, the 9-7. Did Kubiak make it with the Texans and get fired?
Yeah, they seem to make it a lot and just not do much.
Kubiak, Norv Turner, Mike Shanahan with the Redskins, Norv Turner with the Chargers or even Redskins, Kubiak with the Texans. You got anyone else you want to nominate?
Those all smell good to me.
Arians didn't make it with the Cardinals, did he?
I don't think that last year.
I think so.
All right, so which one do you want to go with? You pick, Todd.
You're going to make me pick.
Yeah, I'm making you pick.
Well, you were on Kubiak. Kubiak smells good because he was at the Texans, right?
Right.
And they just always kind of make the playoffs. Let's go with that one.
They're always kind of 9-7. We'll try Gary Kubiak.
No, that would be incorrect. Third one would be AFC West to Denver Broncos, John Fox.
Oh, Fox.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Super Bowl coach.
Steve Mariucci.
The Mooch.
The Mooch, got it.
I think that was 02.
Oh, wow.
At least we didn't name it, yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Peyton Manning has the most passing yards in the history of the NFL in his first five seasons. Who has the second most? It's relevant. It's topical. Still playing.
If you don't say Patrick Mahomes, you're
No. Five seasons. First five seasons.
Yeah, but he's only had two seasons, and he's had a heck of a season. So let's
he's
see.
He's already there.
Well, let me give you an idea. Peyton Manning threw for 20,618 yards. This guy is still active, and he's thrown for 19,000. He, at that time, had thrown for 19,737 yards or even has thrown for 19,737 yards, second
first
most.
First 5 years as a starter or just 5 years?
First 5 years in the league. First okay, 5 years in the league.
Like, does away with Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe even had a 5,000-yard season this year.
Oh, would it have, no, that was, I was going to say last year was Ben Roethlisberger, but no. My kids are begging for their tablets. Sorry.
You're all right, brother. We're all dealing with it. Might even be unemployed.
Yes, okay, gotcha. Jameis Winston.
Yeah, there you go. Nice job. You're going to Jazz.
All right.
Thank you.
You know what? Listen, no one's ever going to say that with three clues in 5 minutes, you can't figure out a question. They are never, ever
nailing it.
Going to say that about
your,
you, my
your first hint was that he maybe has 19.
Has.
Has.
Walk it
That's
back,
exactly
man.
Where
2015
at.
Rookie.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, but he still got there. He got there.
Oh, yeah.
He just needed another nudge. 913-3810-810. Get a line open. Grab it right now. Todd, where do we go next?
Let's go to George. George, you're on Stump the Chumps.
Hey, Chumps.
Hey.
What's up, George?
Jameis Winston had a spectacular season last year with 30 interceptions. What is the NFL record for interceptions in a season?
Oh, we talked about this.
46 by 42 by the old guy.
It's a back in the day
guy.
George Blanda, right? It's George Blanda. 46 came to my mind, but maybe. Go ahead. What were we going to say?
I didn't count George because he was AFL.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Well, that changes everything.
Well, Namath.
He was our answer to all of them.
Yeah. I mean, Namath had some monster INT years. I know he had some big ones. Did he maybe have the record, Kay?
We just talked about this a couple weeks ago.
I know.
Yeah, we didn't look who was. We just kind of went Blanda with 42 and walked away from it, but that was AFL.
I remember someone said John Hadle in our list we were talking about, but that's also AFL. That's AFL too,
yeah, it would be, yeah.
Damn.
All of our guys are old AFL guys. There's somebody, I mean, I can't remember the name. Someone who was, when I say recent, like within 20 years recent, but it was – I don't know. I got nothing.
I got to guess if you guys don't. I don't want to say anything because I don't want to cloud your judgment, but I got to guess.
Tarkenton threw a lot of – I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, I go ahead and guess, Siren.
All right, I'll guess Vinny Testaverde.
Ooh.
Good job, Petro.
Oh, is that it? Oh, man.
Remember when they said that the uniforms were too cream-colored and they couldn't tell the difference? That's perfect, yeah.
You know, I didn't want that to be the answer because I had that. He had 35. And my question was, who was the last guy to have 30 since Winston? And I knew Testaverde was it at 35, but I didn't know he had the NFL record.
Wow.
I think the NFL actually, and I'm fine with the way you asked the question, the NFL actually does recognize the AFL numbers. And so, therefore, I think the actual answer is like 42 by George Blanda, isn't it? Or 46?
Yep, 42.
42 by George Blanda.
Vinny led the league four times. That's good work, Vinny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a pile. He was a pile. 913-3810-810. Let's get one more in here before we break. Who's next?
Up next is, let's see, line three is Dan. Hello, Dan.
How's it going, guys?
What do you got, Dan?
I'm going to call you my three amigos. Does that work?
That's working.
Yeah, that's fine. That works.
All right.
Nobody cares about you, Jed.
I was going to call you Tad, Thorin, and Stables. So
perfect.
I got a baseball question. I'm going to let you guys choose what you want. It's a number one draft pick. Do you want the teams with the most draft picks as the number one or the teams with neither number one draft picks? I'll let you guys choose.
So none, they've never had one, or the team that's had the most of them?
Yep. Boy. So which?
So
one has eight teams, one's got three teams. Obviously, you can only answer three. So I'll let you guys choose, and I'll give you the question.
Well, Kay, I would think, Todd, I would think that there's probably only three that have never had it.
Probably so.
And there's probably eight that are tied at like four or something for the number ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you want to go with the turds, or do you think it'd be easier?
Probably easier to get the good teams, I think.
The good teams?
Yeah.
All right. You want to go down that road? All right, we're going to go for the good teams. Is there only three of them?
Nope. So there's eight teams that have never drafted number one.
Okay.
Really?
Wow.
Yep.
I'm going to
give you
backwards.
Three of them. I'm going to give you three of them, and if you could just name three of the other five, that's great.
Oh, I didn't know he was going to give us the Yankees or something, was he? Okay, go ahead.
Nope,
give us your.
Yeah. Boston, the Dodgers, and the dreaded Cardinals have never drafted number one in baseball. Who are? Can you name three of the other five teams that have never drafted number one?
Have the Yankees had one?
Wasn't Brian Taylor a one?
Well, here's
God, he was, wasn't he? Yes, he was.
I just saw him in tweet a couple days ago, and he apparently has gained 150 pounds.
Who hasn't?
He's
come on.
He's dead.
Didn't he die?
I thought he died.
It could be.
We'll Google that during the break.
You might need to cross him off.
Cross him off, then.
Okay, I would assume the Dodger. Probably.
No, he gave us. He gave us the Cardinals,
the
Dodgers, Red Sox, and Dodgers.
Okay.
I never drafted number one.
All right.
There's five other teams that have never drafted number one in baseball.
Phillies?
Now the Phillies have had some 100-loss seasons.
No, they've been god awful. They had to have picked number one, didn't they?
Yeah, probably.
Did he suck? I can't name them.
Brewers have.
What about the Blue Jays? Have they ever gone 1-1?
Probably not. I don't know if the Blue Jays have many 100. Let's just start
short time. A lot of success. Yeah.
Can we start with the Blue Jays?
Well, I feel pretty good about the Blue Jays. Do you feel good about the Blue Jays?
I do, because they haven't had they weren't around until 77. So,
okay,
that makes it better.
Yeah, it cuts off 8 years that weren't there. We're gonna start with the Blue Jays.
That's correct.
All right.
Okay. Now we're
more teams left.
I like the idea of the Rockies too, because it's even less time.
Have they ever had 1-1?
I don't know if they've been 100 loss, just awful.
Well, then we should might as well. The Rays definitely have.
Yes, they have.
Have the Diamondbacks?
D-backs? D-backs are in the same boat.
Upton D-backs, Rockies, and Marlins.
Yeah, that's right, Justin Upton.
I would think the Marlins probably have, because they've tanked
The D-backs have. The Marlins, was Josh Beckett 1-1, or did he go 2 behind Hamilton?
I think he wasn't Adrian Gonzalez a one?
But was that for them, or was that for the Dodgers? Or the Padres even? He bounced around, or the Rangers.
Yeah, he did.
He went through like three teams before he finally started hitting with the Dodgers. I think the Marlins probably have. So Diamondbacks have, Marlins have, Rays have.
How about the Rockies, though?
The Rockies aren't bad. I can't think of a Rocky that went 1-1. You want to try them?
Let's try it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll try the Rockies next.
Ding, ding.
All right.
Okay, so we got two.
So I was just thinking out loud in my head. The Reds have been very good, or decent. Have the Reds been horrific and gotten to a 1-1?
I can't think of a 1-1.
I remember I've spent a couple hours before looking for all the worst records ever. You know, these teams have lost 100
games. Because when it
started,
they were a good team when it started. They've always been pretty good. It's only been recently that they've been awful, but I don't remember them picking first. So you want to try
that? I don't know if I want to try it. I'm just throwing it out there as a team that's – I like our expansion teams. That helps because they haven't been around the whole time.
Right. I think we've eliminated them.
Yes.
You know, you go to the next wave of expansion. The Mariners definitely have. The Royals have. The Expos / Nationals have.
How about the Brewers? The Brewers. I was just thinking about them.
Brewers was the catcher.
B.J. Surhoff.
Surhoff.
B.J. Surhoff. Yeah. He went 1-1 out of there. Okay, so not the Brewers. I can't think of a Red, though, man. I can't think of an Indian either, but I'm assuming they sucked for so long that they had to have 1-1 somewhere.
Yeah, back in the day, I would think.
Yeah, don't you think? Have the Cubs?
Cubs, wasn't Sean Dunston?
Shawan Dunston
was.
I had a baseball card with him. Jed just said Pirates. What do you think about Pirates?
Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole was 1-1.
Jeff King also.
Reds then, or.
All right. Yeah, let's go Reds. Yeah, Jeff King too. Good call. Okay. Let's go with the Reds. You got anything else?
That's it for me.
We're going to go with the Reds last.
Can Damn it, you three amigos, you're good.
Bang!
It's Boston, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Colorado,
Cleveland.
Dodgers, the Giants, St. Louis, and Toronto. Never had a number one draft pick.
Wow. We were around it with the Indians. We weren't going to go there. Nice question. Hang on. You're getting jazzed. I love that question.
Hell yeah.
That's
no,
a great question. We'll give
call
you
back,
great...
Dan.
Yeah. Oh, you hung up on
Oh.
It's all good. We'll take care of him.
We owe you. We will take a break. Come back. Your chance to stump the chumps right now. 913-3810-810. All you got to do is stump the chumps. You get dinner for two at Jazz.
The program with Soren Petro.
Why are we stumped?
I'll have three cheeseburgers.
For God's sake, she's having a baby.
Oh, that's right. And a kid's meal.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer and a question that I realized I probably should have been more specific with. I said, what uniform number has been retired with the most major league teams?
I said 42, added. Curtis.
42.
Besides 42. 42.
42.
Like, as the person 42? Who answers the phone, Curtis, I really appreciate you not specifying it, man. Jackass.
It's like, oh, man. First, like three people immediately popped up on Twitter, 42. I'm like, ah, crap. Besides 42, what number's been retired the most?
I was going to guess like a single-digit number because that's all the old great players. It was something like five or something or three or something. I don't know.
Three wouldn't be bad, but I also think like 24, like some of the outfield numbers, like 24. That's a big one.
Nope.
Five with Brett. You know,
Brooks Robinson,
DiMaggio.
We just named three.
Five.
It's probably only three there are.
I'm gonna go five.
Nope. Only seven people have been retired. Number five, the most, with 11, is the number 20.
Really?
Now that has helped out with the fact that Frank Robinson
played for two teams,
has had the number 20 retired for him by three different teams: Orioles,
okay.
Indians, and Reds. Jorge Posada. The three Robinsons, Frank White, Mike Schmidt, Lou Brock, Pie Trainer, Don Sutton, whose birthday is today, Gonzalez, Luis Gonzalez for the Diamondbacks, and Monty Irvin for the Giants.
Should Frank Robinson's number be retired in Cleveland?
He's a manager, right?
First African-American manager, I guess.
Yeah.
If that's the reason, then okay.
Player manager, too, right? Wasn't he
a
player manager?
76.
Player manager. Ask Al Fitzmorris about playing.
How about
Frank Robinson? Yeah, he'll tell you some stories, man. That's good stuff. Fitzy, we love you, brother. Hope you're doing well, my friend, my longtime partner, doing pre and post of some bad Royals baseball. All right, 913-3810-810. Great Cajun food from Jazz of Louisiana Kitchen. All you got to do is stump the chumps. Where do we go next?
Let's go next to T-Box. Hello, T-Box. It's your turn to stump the chumps.
Box.
Yes, your scorekeeping has increased dramatically since you've been home. 0+0 in the feud with Lebo was easy, but I think yesterday, for the first time in the history of the program, you were behind in Frank's opinions, and you admitted it. At one point, you were behind by two, and you actually said it with a straight face. I was impressed.
I was clearly being pencil whipped.
Yes, every time.
You were. So. Well, I was going to ask you a World War II baseball question, but since Pete's not around, I'll go with another baseball question.
Okay.
Who were the home run leaders in the 94 short season in baseball, American League and National League?
Well, Albert Bell was at his
– was the National League.
Who did?
Did you say 94?
Yeah, 94.
94, yeah.
Yeah.
I asked you – what did you say, Curtis?
I'm certain Matt Williams was the National League leader. Bell's 50 was the next season, the strike-shortened season, when they came back late in 95. Who would have led the American League? Would have been Griffey?
Matt Williams.
Well, first off, let's see. Is Matt Williams correct? Curtis is strong on this. Is Matt Williams
are
right?
Are you committed to that, Curtis?
I am.
Okay, so we'll go Matt Williams first.
Matt Williams with 43.
All right. Curtis, now answer the next part.
You know what? No, wait a minute. Oh, no. Kevin Mitchell would have been, his fat ass would have still been in San Francisco, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he sucked with the Mariners, so he wouldn't have let it then. Trying to think of, like, RBI baseball.
Well, we know the Cleveland Indians were playing very well. That was when they were coming on. So I don't dislike Albert Bell as being the leader at the time that's
what jumped into my mind, but Curtis makes a good point. His 50-50, God's 50 homer season was the next year.
Griffey was in a groove then.
Frank Thomas?
He'd have been
that's pretty good, too.
He'd have been a banger.
Griffey hadn't gotten up there into his big numbers yet, had he? That wouldn't be till the end of the night.
He exploded in 93. I thought 93 was the first big year that he jumped up.
Okay. I'll listen to that then. I'll listen to whatever.
Curtis is hot right now.
Boy, Thomas. Thomas is good, though.
He never got towards 50, so. And my recollection was that, like, Matt Williams didn't have as many as the American League guy. I don't know why, but that's what I have in my head.
Yeah, it could be.
So, and I don't think Frank Thomas ever got to, like, 47, 48.
I'm going to say Junior.
All right, we'll go Griffey Junior.
You should have talked Curtis out of it. It's Ken Griffey Junior.
Way to go. I like it. Nice job, Kay. 913-3810-810. Who's next?
Dick is next, and this is a K-State baseball question, so we all could be in trouble. I don't know. Let's see what's happening here, Dick.
Yeah, tell me the first African-American baseball player at K-State.
I think this is Earl Woods, isn't it?
Yeah, tell me the
first I think the answer is Earl Woods.
Earl Woods, father of Tiger Woods.
Correct.
All right.
Thank you, Dick. It's a good question, though.
I've done my part now today. You've done all
you can possibly do. 913-3810-810. Who's next?
Up next is Robbie. Hello, Robbie. Stump the Chumps.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I've got a baseball question. I'll give you the choice. Do you want a pitching question or do you want a hitting question?
That's up to Curtis. He's red hot on baseball right now. I don't know.
Pitching.
Pitching would be a terrible idea.
Okay, pitching question. Since Ray Chapman died on a pitch in 1920 and basically ended all the 30-game winners, there's only been three 30-game winners since 1920. Can you name the 30-game winners?
Denny McClain.
Denny McClain. Shut up.
I got the first one in.
To that one. Denny McClain is one.
That's correct.
Did one of the Dean, like Dizzy Dean, maybe?
Dizzy? Or what about Lefty Grove?
I like anything that you say from that era. Warren Spahn won a bunch of games, too. Jed's right about that. I don't know if he was a 30. What was our 1920 is the year here, Robbie?
Yeah.
Since 20.
They changed the ball at that point, and home runs came in, and the 30-game winners went away.
I'm almost positive Dizzy Dean won 30 once.
All right.
I don't know why.
We'll go Dizzy Dean next.
1934, Dizzy Dean won 31.
All right, I've done my part for sure now. I'm finished.
And I like Lefty Grove.
Spahn, Lefty Grove. I mean, I know, like, Koufax and Drysdale, they didn't, right? Koufax didn't, did he?
I don't think he ever won. He was like 27.
I think was the most.
Yeah, I think he got up there. And nobody's done it since McClain.
That's correct.
So I don't know what do you think
was going to do it,
according to some idiots on national radio. You like who?
Lefty Grove.
All right, we'll go Lefty Grove.
1931, 31 wins. Lefty Grove.
Yes,
I actually liked him better than Dizzy Dean.
I don't know why I remember Dizzy Dean. I just remembered that one.
I felt pretty good about Lefty Grove because I know Danny loves him so much that I've looked up his numbers a couple of times just to placate Danny, but that's nice. 913-3810-810. Got one line open. Grab it right now. You can win great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. All you got to do, people, is stump the chumps.
The program with Soren Petro.
Good guy to hang out with. He's a good guy to work with. He's got the characteristics of what you would hope that your best friend or a brother would have.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Stone the Jones really is kicking. If you don't call, you're a big chicken.
Blair Kirkhoff coming up in our next hour, giving you a chance to stump the chumps, win great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. All you got to do is stump the chumps, 913-83-810-810. Grab a line right now, Petro, Siebold, Jed, Todd Lebo in for Peter Yates, Enoch. Great Cajun food from Jazz is going to be yours if you can stump the chumps. Todd, where do we go next?
We go next to Dan. NFL question, according to what Jed typed on here. So don't lie to us, Dan. What's your NFL question?
Not lying. This NFL arch rival of Joe Theismann, who was a Dallas Cowboy, originally was a high school teammate of Joe Theismann in New Jersey. NFL arch rival of Joe Theismann went to high school with him in New Jersey.
Someone who went to high school with Joe Theismann.
When it came out in the
arch, what defines arch rival? He just played for the Cowboys?
Or did he was a Dallas Cowboy. He was definitely known as a Cowboy.
But like, so
I'm
just
from New Jersey, and I don't care.
I feel like you guys should know this. This guy was pretty good, borderline Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, like, but
was
yeah,
like
we
a
may know.
Player
I'm sure
like,
we're gonna know the guy, but what high school he went to is not gonna be top of mind.
Yeah, it's interesting that two guys went to high school together and played in the NFL against each other. I guess.
I think somebody a Cowboy that would have come out in the early '70s. It was borderline Hall of Famer.
What about? I'm thinking if he's. Oh, you said the guy's a borderline Hall of Famer. I was gonna say like Randy White, just because
he's a real Hall of Famer, right?
If you're saying he's a arch rival, then
University of Tulsa. He just said University of Tulsa product. There's our hint.
If he's an arch rival, I'm thinking a defensive guy, right?
Twilly, who one of those guys?
Bob Waters or Waters? Jake Waters? What was his name? The safety?
Charlie Waters
sounds good. Jake Waters was a Miami guy. Charlie Waters sounds. But Charlie Waters was some country guy. He didn't sound like he was from Jersey, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, the guy'd be from Jersey.
I like Charlie Waters.
Tulsa, from offensive player, borderline Hall of Famer, Dallas Cowboy.
Offensive player.
Curtis said Drew Pearson. That's not bad.
Curtis, you know a lot more than just baseball. Good job.
All right, there we go.
I want to go with Drew Pearson. Let's go with Drew Pearson.
Hey, let's think about it first. Drew Pearson. Thanks for
well
calling.
Well done. Well done.
All right, thank you. Although I don't know how he was like an arch rival.
Arch rival? Well, they played each other twice a year.
I get that, but like literally any. It's basically like what Cowboy player played high school ball with Joe Theismann?
No, that's interesting.
Like, you want to know who his arch rival could have been? Lawrence Taylor, because he snapped his leg in half. Right,
then,
that would be an arch rival.
Then go to high
school. A guy who had 42 personal foul penalties against Joe Theismann rushing the passer. That would be an arch rival.
But then go to high school.
A guy who plays offense for the Cowboys, I do not think of as an arch rival. That's all I'm saying.
Seren, we got the question right. It was a wonderful question.
I just want to listen. We educate now to help those that will call later.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Looking forward.
By the way,
forward.
Real quick sidebar, Todd. Did you know that a styrofoam cup will eventually lose its integrity?
Oh, yes. If you use it, you've been inside for a long time, haven't you?
The styrofoam cup here that I've been using time and time again, I keep wiping like the soda off it, and I'm like, why is there still soda there? It's like it's sweating soda. Oh, because I think it's about ready to burst down at the bottom. So this will be the last time I use this styrofoam.
Carefully
cup. All right, who's
pick
next?
That up. Scott is up next. Hello, Scott. Stump the chumps.
Yeah, we got an NFL question.
Okay, let's do it.
The AFL and NFL decided to merge in 1966.
Says you.
But that's not the year they actually merged.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the first year a Kansas City football team played in the NFL?
I guess it was 1970.
Yeah, it was 70, right? It was unless he's going with. Hang on a sec. So there was the college all-star game.
Yeah.
So I mean, the obvious is like because what 66, 67 Super Bowl IV, the Chiefs were the last team in January of 70 that actually represented the NFL.
AFL.
Or the AFL. Right? So he wants to know the first time Kansas City. Oh, wait a minute. Say the question again. Actually, I know where he's going. Say it again.
A Kansas City football team played in the NFL.
Oh,
okay. All right. Was it the Kansas City Cowboys or Kansas City? Like way back in like the
1934 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Was it the Cowboys or the Kansas City Mavericks or.
Steers, Packers, something?
No, Steers was the basketball team, right?
Yeah.
I think the Cowboys was the football team. But
all right, let's try that. We'll go with the Kansas.
He wants the year, though.
Well, he wants the year. Oh, well.
Say 1934.
We'll say 1934.
1924, the Kansas City Blues.
Yeah.
Blues.
City Roy Blues. Andrews was the head coach, and he also played tackle.
I don't care. let me tell you something. Here, Tom Brady is going to play quarterback at age 43. Only three players in NFL history have started at quarterback age 43 or older. Name me two of them.
Vinny Testaverde.
That's one. One of the two did it. Let's say this. The other two have ties to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ron Jaworski.
One of them did it wearing a Chiefs uniform, and one of them once guided the Chiefs to the playoffs, but did this feat in a different uniform. He actually got called out of the coaching staff to come in and start.
Oh, man.
And then the other one did it wearing a Chiefs uniform.
Did Warren Moon play that late?
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. Warren Moon, nice job. You're a winner. Vinny Testaverde, Warren Moon, and Steve DeBerg started for the Atlanta Falcons. Came off the coaching staff. Nice job. You're getting jazz. All right, let's get another one in. Quick, Todd.
Last one, JD. Stop the chumps.
Hey, chumps, best out of the week.
Thank you, sir. What do you got real quick?
On the way to the Super Bowl, the 2019 Chiefs lost three home games, but won it all. Twice it's happened that a team has lost four and won it all. And once a team has lost five and won it all, who are those three teams?
I would think it's one of those, like, Giants or Steelers, six-seed type things.
Yeah, we'll start with the Giants.
Which Giants?
New York Giants?
07. 11. 11.
11. They lost nine. They lost seven games.
The 11.
Yeah, 11 they lost, four.
Okay. What about the 10-6 Packers? What do you think, Kay?
No.
They play one home game.
Interest of time, we'll go Packers.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
No.
Who is it?
It was the 2007 Giants and the 88 Niners.
Niners.
Damn. What franchise has the lowest win percentage in the history of professional American sports?
Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, in the three-point era, only one school has won a Final Four game without hitting a three-pointer. Who was it? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.